Dear friends, good morning. And good morning. Thank you. Welcome to a new season. A season of expectation, a season of rising renewed hope, of opening our arms again to all that it means that Christ has come and Christ will come. A blessed Advent to you as we start now today in a season of gladness and fresh colors and all the rest. Lots of extra special events happen in this season between now and Christmas. Some of these are listed in your order of worship. Let me point just to a couple of upcoming Sunday things. When you are coming to church next Sunday morning, it might be a good thing to bring a little extra cash. Our American Baptist Women's Ministries group is preparing a sale of great Christmas treats and decorations. It's always fun and good additions to our homes as well. On the Sunday following that, be ready to stay following worship to sing Christmas carols together in this room. There are other special events coming up, and I will call on the other pastor to say some words about those.
There are just two or three things I want to let you know about. First of all, you've probably already gotten this word, but Christmas Eve is coming. And it's 3 weeks from today. And that night, we have our special Christmas Eve service, a festival of lessons and carols. And this time, we're trying a little something different in terms of our outreach efforts. And we are asking people to reserve tickets online. That does not mean that if you don't have a ticket, that you're not going to be able to come to the service. We are going to let all comers in to our Christmas Eve service. But it would help us out in terms of being prepared if you could reserve a ticket, and especially if you could invite your friends, your family, your neighbors, people you see on the street to this service and let them know that they can reserve free tickets online. That's also how they can reserve a space in childcare, because we want to be prepared for all who will come. You can pick up a card about this on the information counter on your way out or see information in the bulletin. Also, you can go on our church website to read about it. And I hope that you will do that, because if you do, you will see that we have, as of 2 days ago, a brand new church website. We're really excited about it. Please take a minute to check it out when you can. And finally, I want to let you know about a new Advent devotional resource that we're offering this season. We have a number of resources that we always have available each year for Advent. This time, we've got this brand new special Advent coloring devotional that offers an opportunity for you to do some art as well as some written reflections. There are scriptures, there are prayers. It's appropriate for teens as well as adults, as well as if you are an adult with young children, you can help them. You can do the coloring with them and talk with them about the scriptures. So you can find this and other Advent devotional resources on the table next to the information counter on your way out this morning.
And now our worship begins, and I invite you to join with me in the responsive call to worship. In our longing, we wait for a sign. We are God's people, and we wait with hope. Come, Lord Jesus.
Thank you. If you're able, I invite you to stand with me for our invocation.
God of all mercy, power, truth, strength, and love, here we are gathered before you. May we in this hour of worship cast off evil and the sin that so easily entangles. May we renew ourselves in the knowledge of your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ. And may we present ourselves a living sacrifice to you as we prepare and anticipate your return in final glory. Amen.
Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth.
Stir up your might and come to save us.
Restore us, O God. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see.
Give us life, and we will call on your name.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
Thank you. The passage we'll be reading interrupts a larger passage where the author has been recalling Israel's history, God's faithfulness and love toward Israel, and Israel's unfaithfulness and wandering. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and our filth and our righteous deeds, all our righteous deeds, are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. The word of the Lord.
Will you pray with me, please? O Spirit of God, we long for you. Spirit of peace and of joy, we long for you. We are yearning for what is right in the world and all around us. What we see is horribly wrong. We are sickened, we are embarrassed, we are grieved, and we feel ourselves to be helpless. And more than helpless, complicit participants in many of our nation's sins. And so we do yearn to do better and to be better. In this present darkness, we yearn for light, the light of your nearness, the light of your compassionate power to redeem the world and to transform your people. Oh God, let that light shine on us and let it shine through and from us. Come, Lord Jesus. We pray now for those who are in need of comfort today, or for the renewal of their strength, the quickening of their hope. We pray for the lonely, for the frightened, for the hungry, for the guilty, for those who need nothing so much in the world as to know that they are entirely loved and that you are with them. We pray for the many people in Mogadishu and elsewhere in Somalia, those who were injured or lost family and friends in yesterday's violence. And we pray for these, for Brian Smith and all the family of Elizabeth Smith, for Juanita Dieterle, Ed and Marilyn Marsh, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Ethan Wright, Peter Mortensen, Wally Jordan, Dottie Kassler, Robert L., Dana Rogers, Will Healy, the family of Kathy Bloig, and the Kleva family, for Jackie Vannersdahl, for the Haggard family, Jim Terrace, Jim Johnson, Mike and Bonnie, Barb and Bob, for the Campbell family, for Dixie, Nancy Krivak, for the Jones family, John Wallace, for Bob Snyder, for Jim and Jason Weaver. And now receive the prayers of our hearts as we offer them now in silence. Merciful giver of hope and of peace and of joy, make us wise to wait for you and watch for you and wish for you until the breaking of the day, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please stand with me for the reading of our gospel. This is the gospel according to Mark, words of Jesus to his disciples. But in those days, after the suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the Son of Man is near, at the very door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves his home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes back suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. The word of the Lord. You may be seated, and I invite the children forward for Time as Children with Zan as we sing. Do you remember what this is? Lizzie? Ooh, it's kind of like a calendar, but it's in a circle. So it's a little different than we're used to. It's a calendar of the church year, the seasons at church. And we look for signs of change. Can you look around in the space? What things have changed? How can you tell something's different? Something's up.
Two big Christmas trees.
Two big Christmas trees, Derek.
There are a lot more light and light and a lot more candles.
Because you just said so.
Yeah. People are telling us things are changing. Things are different.
Greenery.
Greenery. Yeah, the space looks different. There are signs in the sanctuary that tell us something's up. Something's changing. Something's coming. So let's look over here by Chloe's knees. Do you see those purple Sundays? That's where we are. And we are at the very first one. Chloe, can you point this at the very first purple right after? Yeah. We're on that first Sunday of Advent, and there are four Sundays. Now here is something crazy. That last Sunday is very close to the Christmas Sunday that comes next. We have 3 weeks, we heard, until Christmas Eve, until we get to celebrate. 3 weeks. Does anybody know how many days that is? How many days is that? Emmanuel? 21 days. Anybody know how many hours that is? Anybody know how many hours we're going to wait? Make a good guess. Can somebody make a guess? Myung Hyun, what's your guess? Oh, 504, that's exactly right on. And it's 30,240 minutes. So we have some waiting to do. It feels to some of us like it's really close. But we still have a long time to wait, to get ready. The whole point of Advent is to get ready for Jesus to come as a baby, to celebrate that. So we're going on this journey of waiting and getting ready, and we're noticing signs. We're noticing the decorations. We're listening to the words of the choir. They were singing about baby Jesus coming too. We're listening to the prayers. Everything is starting to sound like getting ready for Jesus to come. Will you pray with me? Let's put our hands way up above our heads like a star. We heard stars in our reading, and a star for Christmas. Let's put our hands up like a star. Will you repeat after me? Dear God, we thank you for Jesus. Help us get ready. Because we want to be ready. Amen.
Will you pray with me? As we wait for your coming, O Lord, keep us awake to your presence. Keep us alive to your love. Keep us aware of your power to work wonders in us and through us for the sake of your world. Grant us hope. Amen. It is always a little bit of a jolt to arrive at the beginning of Advent and have to read scriptures about the end of the world. Here we all are, just looking for a little joy and peace and hope and love and light. And instead, relentlessly, the first Sunday of Advent always says, wait, first, let's talk about the end of the world. Advent always begins with a bang. Today's gospel lesson comes from a section of the Gospel of Mark referred to as the Little Apocalypse. Standing on the Mount of Olives with his disciples, Jesus, looking at the temple, predicts its destruction, predicts the persecution of all who follow his way, and describes the end of the world. The sun will be darkened, he says. The moon will not give its light. The stars will be falling from heaven. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. Ah, and happy Advent to you. It isn't the feel-good message we may be hoping for at this time of year, but those images of cosmic disturbances, catastrophic endings, and a world in darkness certainly do resonate with present reality, don't they? Every week feels like we're on the edge of some new cataclysm. In this past week alone, we've dealt with so many different kinds of breaking news that it's difficult to keep up. It's overwhelming. It can make us feel helpless. Many of us find ourselves dealing with levels of rage or fear or anguish or all of the above beyond what we've ever experienced before. It's traumatizing. So it may be a jolt to come to church this morning and hear words not of comfort but of crisis. They are not the words we wanted, but they are the words that are true. Many years ago, I experienced a different kind of shock. I was in my 20s, hanging out with a close group of friends late one night. It was well past midnight. We had just finished watching a scary movie. We stayed in the living room chatting deep into the night when one of the guys in the group, Chris, got up and went to the kitchen to start washing dishes. The rest of us stayed there in the living room, just fully absorbed in our conversation, when all of a sudden, there was this loud, hard, rapid banging on the front door. The door absolutely shook. We could see it. And we all screamed. And I don't know in retrospect which part scared me more, the banging on the door or hearing all the screams of my friends and my own scream. I will never forget the look on my friend Watt's face. He was the one sitting closest to the door, and I can still see him as he lunged away. His eyes got this big, his mouth peeled back in horror as he shrieked. But mostly what I remember is the way the color just absolutely drained from his face. I had never seen that happen in real life before. I assume it happened to me, too, because I could feel that cold fear in my stomach, which I think was all the blood and adrenaline that had gone there. The banging stopped, and there was this long silence while we all stared at each other wide-eyed. And then suddenly, on the other side of the door, laughing. And then our friend Chris's voice. It's me! Let me in! What? We didn't let him in. Not at first. We just stared at each other. What was going on? Wasn't Chris in the kitchen? We could actually still hear the water running. But no, he was not in the kitchen. Turns out that when he was in there washing dishes and he heard how engaged we were with each other and how absorbed we were and how oblivious we were to anything that was not happening in that room, he thought, I'll play a trick on them. And he left the faucet running and he tiptoed out the back and came around the front and banged on the door in the deep of the night. And now there he stood, laughing on the porch and saying, let me in. And we were caught between anger and relief. Finally, we did let him in. And eventually, we laughed along with him, and we've been laughing about it ever since. The thing about a door is, we don't always know what's on the other side of it. Is it a threat or is it a friend? What's on the other side of the door can be a mystery, hidden from sight until the door is opened. A door is a boundary that can keep somebody out or let somebody in. It's a barrier we have to make a decision about. We have to take some sort of action with a door before the threshold can be crossed. Will we open the door or not? When Jesus spoke of the darkened sun and the unlit moon and the collapsing stars and the shaking skies, his words were not meant as threat, but as promise. In the midst of all this world-ending destruction, the Son of Man will arrive, sending angels to gather the elect from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. Whatever destruction, whatever darkness, whatever the suffering, whatever is shaken, whatever has collapsed, there is no place that God will not go to seek and to find and to gather up the beloved, suffering people. There is no length to which God will not go. There's no step that God will not take, no chasm God will not cross to gather us in. In the midst of all this talk about things that end, Jesus then talks about green and growing things. He says, just as you know that a fig tree putting forth leaves means that summer is near, so also when these horrifying, world-ending devastations happen, you will know that the Son of Man is near, at the very door. Think about that. It's a puzzle, really, or a mystery, that the very things that seem the most horrendous, shocking, appalling, these very things are the signs that God is near. When things seem the darkest, God's presence is actually closer than we realize. When things seem the sickest, God's healing of the world is actually at hand. This is not to say that God causes destruction. It is to say that we can be assured that wherever there is destruction, wherever there is dysfunction, wherever there is death, God is already near. Jesus was speaking explicitly about the end of time, but his words are for our time too, and for all times in whatever little apocalypses we face. In all of our endings, Christ is already coming to us. He is at work in every loss. He is present in all our devastations. When our world is shattered, He is already coming to gather us up. When we are shaken, when even our faith is collapsing, He is near, at the very door. The door between heaven and earth. The door between horror and hope. The door between who we are and who we will become. He is at the door, and He knocks. We've been through so many breathless, bad news cycles in our world lately. So much of the world as we have known it has ended, or is ending, or seems to be on its way out. It's hard to know anymore what is worth fighting for and what we just have to accept. When Jesus talked with the disciples about the end of the world, He said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but no one knows when, not even Him. And because you do not know when the time will come," He said, "you have to keep alert. You have to be on the watch for Him. Like a doorkeeper who watches the door when his master is gone and may come back at any time suddenly. You don't know when He will appear, so you have to pay attention." So Jesus says, "And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." Or to put it in modern parlance, stay woke. Woke is a word from African American vernacular English that means alertness to injustice in society, especially racism. And in recent years, since the killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson in 2014, it has become a word not just of awareness, but of action. To stay woke is to be on a journey towards acknowledging injustice, repenting of complicity, fighting to dismantle all forms of inequality and injustice, and becoming a part of the healing of the world. For some of us, the call is not so much to stay woke or keep awake as it is to get woke or wake up. This too is part of the bang that Advent begins with. Wake up. Whatever part of you is asleep to reality, whatever part of you is numb to possibility, whatever part of you is closed to hope, whatever part of you is shutting your eyes to life or your ears to the news you don't want to hear, it's time to wake up. It's time to open our eyes even though it's dark out. It's time to pay attention even when you can't imagine that God is really present in this mess. It's time to trust what we cannot see, that God is with us. And it's time to be about the work of ushering God's love across the threshold into our hurting world. Look, this is the truth. The things we cannot bear, the shattering, the collapse, the dark, the end of the world as we know it, these things are not the end, but the beginning. Listen. Stay awake. Something is coming. Someone is at the door. What will you do? Part of what we do is make our response to God with what we have. We make our offerings now in hope and in faith. This is the table of hope. This is the feast of love. And all are invited. To make ourselves ready to receive, let's offer our prayers together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Please stand. As forgiven and reconciled children of God, let us offer one another signs of peace and reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you. Let's pray together in the words Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, God formed us in his image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, God's love remained steadfast. God delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign Lord, and spoke to us through the prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. In love, God gave us his only Son, Jesus Christ, sent in the fullness of time to be a light to the nations. God scatters the proud in the imagination of their own hearts and has mercy on those who fear him from generation to generation. God puts down the mighty from their thrones and exalts those of low degree. God fills the hungry with good things, and the rich are sent empty away. God's own Son came among us as a servant to be Emmanuel, God's presence with us. He humbled himself in obedience to God's will and freely accepted death on a cross. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, God gave birth to the church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and by the Spirit. And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
In the same way, after the meal, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Let's pray together. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. After every Sunday that we observe the Supper of the Lord together, there are offering plates outside these doors. This month, the offering is for what is called the Retired Ministers and Missionaries Offering. There are, as many of you know, ministers and missionaries who have reached retirement and are in need of some extra financial support for security. and ongoing assistance. This offering goes to them or to their widowed spouses. It is a much appreciated offering by many, and it makes a difference. Let us give as we are able. Would you stand, please, for the hymn of fellowship?
Clothe yourselves in light.
Keep awake.
Keep faith.